That's all right.
Yeah.
Caramel, my friend.
Yeah. That's my favorite joint. All right, listen, y'all. Welcome back. Yeah, we doing something different today. Y'all see, I'm in this chair, and the one she's been here the most time than anybody. Cookie is back. We're going to do something different today. She's actually going to interview me. So I'm gonna just go ahead and pass the mic over to her and let her do whatever she want to do. Here's Cookie. I don't know what she's going to ask me.
Here's Cookie.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to ask me.
What up? I'm back for the fourth. I decided to give Edward an idea of, let's reverse these roles. Let's interview you. I mean, because he give us a few pieces here and there, but I got a few questions for him today. Again, I'm Cookie, his favorite classmate. Class of 97.
97.
We really took that, you know, that was, you know, we was the best class. I ain't even gonna try to sugarcoat it. So we really take pride in our class of 97. But without further ado, okay, it's time to interview the king of his own page.
That's right.
Mr. Crowley.
That's me.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Let's go.
All right, my first question for Ed is, and I have my notes on my phone. Growing up, let's talk about that.
Okay.
I heard you say drummer boy before, church boy, you know. I knew what your dad do because he worked with my dad. Didn't know your mom, though. I didn't know your mom. Okay. I did catch your Mother's Day special last week, and I listened in. We appreciate you because I can't relate, but there are some people in the world that can relate to Ed's pain.
And I haven't watched it back because I don't know what I see. I know some of it, but I can't watch it back yet.
It was good. I watched, you know, I commented.
Yeah, you did.
So.
Thank you.
Talk to us, Ed. Tell us, growing up, church boy, drummer boy, your childhood. Did people actually call you those names? Did they call you church boy and drummer boy? Did they call y'all that?
Yeah, a lot. I've been called a lot of things in my life. That's why I think I can joke so good back on people, because I've been called a lot of things.
And it's crazy, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let Ed answer those questions. It's crazy how you don't know a person till you get to high school, because I really didn't know you till you got to high school, and I think it was because we probably weren't in the same classes.
Right.
Like, it's a few people that... And this one young lady, she knows she is. We was in, like, all elementary school together. But I actually did not know Ed until high school. So
I was like that with a lot of people. Even some people I'm close with to this day, we never took any classes till, like, 9th, 10th grade. Even Antoine and Augie.
Wow.
I knew of him, but even, like, okay, because remember, like, in Hicksville, and I'm going to get to the childhood, you still had different... Like, I was with Miss Hinton in them group.
Right.
And you had
right.
Miss Abby in them group.
And
so,
Miss Broadnecks. That was mine.
And then middle school, it was different too. You had Miss Clark, Miss.
Mr. Cotton.
Yeah, it was a different, it was different groups. Them. Mr. Yep. Powell, Mr. Taylor. That was a different group. Yep. So, a certain group of kids took these set of teachers, a certain group. But then when you got to high school, it was all kind of mixed up. So, that's when I started crossing paths with you and just different ones that I never took classes with all up until that point. Like you said, so we didn't know that. Yeah, you know, you was just talkative, because I didn't know. I mean, as
vocal. I wasn't. I think that came upon in my later teens.
Mine too. I was more quiet. Okay, then in my childhood, I was born August 30th, 1979. Actually, I was born under circumstances I spoke about that on my Mother's Day special. My mother was actually advised not to have any more kids after my sister, which is 6 years older than me, because of her lupus diagnosis. So 6 years later after that, here come little Ed. Okay, I had a good childhood. Grew up two-parent household. As far back as I remember, my father originally, a lot of the older people remember him from Helic Myers Thornton Furniture Store, which is actually the, what is it now? Improvement? It used to be an Improvement Association or something.
Delegate Tyler uses that.
Delegate Tyler, yeah. Rosalind Tyler, she uses that building now. They used to be a furniture store years ago, for those that might not know. A lot of people that do know my father know him from that. Others know him from church, from preaching. On my father's side, the Crawley side, he grew up on Waterloo Street, around Fairgrounds. It was 11, 12 of them. 7 boys, 5 girls, 4. I'm losing the count because a lot of them. But out of my father's brothers, all of them were preachers except my father's oldest brother, which was a deacon, which has passed away. Rest in peace, Uncle Thomas. My father's the 3rd oldest out of all of those kids. And like I said, on that side, the Crawley side, that's as church as you can get. Church of God in Christ. As far as church goes, started out at St. Paul, right on Lowground Road, under Elder Frank Betts, RIP. I didn't start playing the drums until I was about 11, 12, might have been around 10.
Okay.
But at the age of 4, I knew I wanted to play. Because of, and I'm going to shout him out, Sean Pitt. He was the drummer at St. Paul at the time. And it was something about watching him play. It was like, I know I can do that. I had never been taught anything, never touched a drum set. But I knew I could do that. Okay. Like you said, we had a good childhood as far as... Okay, here's the thing with my parents. Some do it backwards. They make sure the kids have on the freshest clothes as far as name brand and this and that. But sometimes, because you spent so much money on making sure you have the look, you miss out on the experiences. So we dressed nice, but they weren't focused on, quote unquote, having a name brand. Because Super 10, I will hand me down clothes. All because I was a fat boy. I was a chubby boy growing up. So you couldn't always find my size like that. Huskies. You had to get husky. I'm about to say that. I was a husky nigga. You know what I'm saying? I wore some hand-me-downs and stuff from guys that was a little older that was heavy too. So once they got too big for their britches.
And jeans don't say that no more. You can't find no huskies.
Okay, you can't find no huskies. Maybe in a thrift store or something. You know, like I say, so instead of focusing on just the name brand, we got to experience some things growing up. During the summers, my father would take us on vacations. We went to Disney World early a few times. Been to New Orleans when we were younger, Ohio, Jersey, Maryland. We got to experience a lot of different things at an early age when some of our peers might not have been doing that. So in that, we were fortunate. Also with that, I didn't realize it till I was older. Being able to experience those things at a younger age made it easier to not stay stuck, not so much in the town of Emporia, but in the mentality of Emporia. And if you hear, you know what I mean. Because we realized that the world was much bigger than this box.
Yeah, statistically.
Emporia is one of the poorest towns, cities, or whatever in the state. So... I guess he had the foresight to know that he didn't want us to just be trapped in that one mindset. Now, as far as church goes, whoo, we did a lot of that. And I have some very, very fond memories just because of the closeness of some of the families and different things. And everybody seemed to be a lot more genuine back then. Now, once you get older, you realize some had certain dirt with them and this and
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's kind of
not just in the Church of God in Christ.
No, but...
I'm Baptist, so... And I appreciate Church of God in Christ.
I do.
I love it.
I'm like I said, I'll never not be fond of it in the history of it. But at the same time, I know the limited mindset some of it still has. Because,
yes, sir.
Just being honest, growing up, we thought we were the best. To this day, Koji thinks they're the best denomination out of Christianity.
Shout out.
I'm fond of it, but y'all know that's the truth. And I'm qualified to say that. my father being a pastor in the Church of God in Christ, still a pastor in the Church of God in Christ, I'm qualified to say that. I'm going to stop saying so much.
That's fine.
But yeah. Like I said, we did a lot of church. I could go on and on. Like I said, I started playing the drums. And the reason I have such a connection with it, my father was a pastor, St. John Church of God in Christ, up in, you know, almost in the Jared area.
Okay. And that. Yeah,
you know
where
the golf course is at?
Mm-hmm.
If you go down past that church back there. He was a pastor there for 14 years.
Wow.
for about 12 of it until I left and like moved out or whatever, I was the drummer, but we never had a musician, never had a keyboard player. So I was the music. So I had to teach myself how to have the music in my head and still try to play it in a way that I transferred the feeling as if they had the music with just the drums, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, like I was saying, I had to try to articulate it, make the sound, the feeling be the same as if you had the music.
If you had the whole ensemble.
As if you had the whole ensemble. So I tried to play it with the energy and the vibe as if you still had it. That's why I never considered myself the best drummer.
Well, but you can beat them drums.
No, let me take that back.
You can beat them drums.
I never played trying to be fancy like some did. I was a person that played from my feelings. I wanted you to feel something when I played. I didn't want to just get up there and do all the fancy stuff. I wanted you to feel it. I wanted to create an energy with my playing. And I understood what was going on. Like, I could talk about this forever. I was the first one to march with Norfolk State with MDFS, Million Dollar Funk Squad. That's a fact. It's been a few since then, but I was the first one to march on the drum.
We're going to talk about that, too.
I didn't stay long, but I was the first one.
Talk about Norfolk State.
I was section leader in the marching band, what, 3 years? Three years, I think. I was the best. But see, I ain't want to try to stay stuck on the high school stuff, but I was the best. Y'all.
We had some good high school years. Yeah, it's y'all, hard to stay stuck on.
We won the first ever first place trophy, like in the new era of the band. And stuff.
Under the leadership of who?
Mr. Kenneth Woodley.
Pastor? Minister? Reverend?
I know he's a pastor. I don't know his other title. Pastor. I know he's a pastor. Okay. The very first place percussion trophy, I was a section leader. We won in Hampton, Virginia my senior year. So I take pride in that. I was one of the first ones to go to the regional band, concert band. I was like the first drummer to do that around here. Little stuff, I don't stay stuck on it, but I did a lot of things while drumming. I've given drum lessons. I've inspired a lot of y'all. I'm just leave that hanging. I inspired a lot of y'all. And you know it.
So he actually lives up to his drummer boy.
Yeah, y'all.
Because I know my brother called you that.
Yeah. If it wasn't for trucking, like I was playing up until the time. I was actually, the last church I played at was Holy City. I was a drummer up until I started trucking. But for the last 4 years, of course, my schedule has been so. It wouldn't be fair for me to commit to a church to try to play when I couldn't guarantee
that you'll be there.
So I had to let it go. But up until that time, yeah.
Okay, so did you play any at Eleanor Jarrell when you were there?
Now, I was there for about 12 years.
Things, you know, it's crazy because things become so vague sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you spend that
just
much time
like
doing
you've something. seen the structural development and upcoming of St. Paul. Yeah. I remember the old church too because my grandma, God rest her soul.
What's the name wasn't there when they built the dining hall and stuff. I remember that.
My great grandmother, Sister Bernice Lou White.
Okay.
That's my grandfather. Yeah. He's still living.
I'm sure my pops know him. I'm sure my daddy know him.
Maryland person.
That's my grandmother.
That's my grandfather's sister. God rest her soul. Yeah, dressing woman. Wear them heels.
So you related to that? I didn't know you related to that.
Yes, Diane and Jessica know them. Yes, we are related by my grandfather, who, like I said, is still living in Lincoln Heights.
Wow.
And it's crazy because things become so vague, but you remember the old church.
Yeah.
The new church. The non-paved driveways. And mine. And you've been through your pastors. God rest his soul. Pastor Elder Betts. This community thought a lot of that man.
Yes.
I would say. His name ring bells. But it's just crazy how things become so vague. And you don't think about it until you ask.
Yeah. Like you said, if you hadn't asked, I would be like, man. I remember.
Like 12 years at Eleanor Jarrell. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
And again, another development that he's seen the change. Positive 15.
Yeah, I remember when it was just the old church and when they built the new building that's there now.
I started visiting when it was still look like the old Positive 15. Absolutely. So I've seen development. My child has had the opportunities to go through daycare there. I worship there several New Years in a row.
Yeah, look, I know. So, a lot of people have been through there.
Yeah.
But going back to St. Paul, one fond memory I have is because, and shout out to my godfather, Frank Betts Jr. He used to have a group that was called Boys to Men. Church used to be a place where people from all walks of life would cross paths. You know, so he would pick up guys from Project, Reed Street, all parts of town, and we come together. We had to have some type of Bible study first, but then we all link up, go to the record, some play basketball. And that's initially how I got cool with people that I ordinarily probably wouldn't have talked to until later in life. You know what I'm saying? And built good relationships with through church, you know. So I'm thankful for that, because even to this day, I got good connections with people, like I say, that if we hadn't crossed paths in church, I might not have never, I wouldn't have ran into them until later in life. Like you said, you asked about Eleanor Jarrell. Now, this is an interesting story, how I ended up there. I was married. We broke up. The day we broke up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had two choices that particular day. I forgot what the first one was. But I said, I'm going to either do this or I'm going to go to church. I went to church. I had some marijuana in my system, but I went to church.
Come as you are.
Yeah, and I sat kind of in the back, right? And when I got there, Kelly Woodley, she was the drummer at the time. So, of course, that caught my attention. Like, oh,
yeah,
crap.
You beat them drums.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, yeah. And as I started listening to the music, I was like, oh, this reminds me of how church used to feel. So I was like, okay. So I started just visiting or whatever. So then my former mother-in-law, she started telling me to come up, you know, and play the drums.
Uh-huh,
and
Miss
Kelly
uh-huh.
had a break, so yep. She started telling me to come up and
she
play.
She will call you out.
So
to the front.
Yeah. So over time, you know, we were kind of back and forth. But then after a while, I guess Kelly made the decision, or whoever, like, just let me play. So from that point on up until the time I left, I was the main drummer. Other people came through and would play behind me, but it was even to the point, man, I take pride in this. Like, on big services, like, I don't care how many drummers was there, and I'm not going to name any names, but it would be some really good drummers there. But Pastor Woodley, I love you, she would tell me, she's like, if they start shouting, you play. Because she knew, I knew the feeling of that church and
okay.
the tempo, and, you know, some would play too fast, or some just give, they try to show off. She said, no, Ed knows what to do. Especially for this establishment, he knows what to do. So she trusted me with that. I was the choir director there for, I'm going to tell the time I left.
Yeah, I remember that too. Vague, but I remember.
I enjoyed that. And I'm sure that the people that sang while I was the choir director, y'all enjoyed it too, and y'all learned a lot. And y'all realized that I was as good as I say I was.
Gateway.
I would be humble with that, but you realize I was as good as I said I was. Right, I'm just saying.
It's
I'm
Ed
just
bringing
saying.
That stuff. I'm like, I'm sitting in my head because, like I said, I visited there. And I remember that.
Yeah, because like people that run into me now, then I start telling them about stuff. They were like, you used to be the choir director.
You used to be quiet director.
Yeah, I'm a choir director, man. Yep. I enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it. But if you got some more questions, because
yeah,
I could keep talking.
Anything else about your childhood? Anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah, because I could go, I speak about my mother. Like I said, she had lupus. And it wasn't until, okay, when you grow up and you only see a certain thing, up until a certain point, with my mother kind of being sick, that kind of was just normal almost.
And my mother went through that when my stepdad got sick.
Okay.
For that, not quite a year, but almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the day we left in the line, we lined up on Halifax Street. Mm-hmm. And the day we left, going to the funeral, Rocky Mount Baptist Church, shout out to Rocky Mount, right down the road from my church. And mm-hmm. we always visit, a shout out to them. We came down Halifax Street past the funeral homes and stuff.
Mm.
She had not been on that side of town. And she had not realized.
Wow.
This was around the town where they put those black benches and stuff out. She said, oh.
So she hadn't been there since before they...
Because everything
wow.
was MCB.
Okay,
Halifax
so she
Street,
had no reason to go that way.
301 95 MCB. She had no reason to come across town. She got a few breaks to go get her hair done. But she got her hair done in the shop.
On that side of
there. She had not seen the black benches that had been placed out on the street. That's, so she missed like almost a whole year of her life.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's just the same, similar to what you were saying, you know, about your mom being sick, and that's the only thing you really
that's all you knew at that time. That's all
and
you knew.
Never knew anything about lupus until a friend of mine's sister ended up with it. And I actually had went with them to the ER, and she had got so sick. So tell us, go ahead and finish.
Well, I must say that, like you say, even before she passed, but as I began to understand what was going on with my mother, to this day, I say she's the strongest person I know. And I'm not going to get emotional.
And if you do, who's going to check you? Boo, I ain't going to check
you. But people got to understand, me thinking I can do anything, whether it ends up going bad or not, it's because of my mother.
It's because of her. Watch the podcast last week.
And even through all of her sickness, I've seen, with lupus, I've seen my mother go blind. Wake up in the middle of the night, just sort of throwing up. And I'm not going to even go into all of that because I will start crying. And I don't want to do that right now. But she never complained. So that's why when I go through things now, it'll shake me up for a minute. But I had an example. And that's why I tell fathers and mothers, but especially mothers, the ones that have the kids primarily, pay attention to what you're doing around your kids. It matters. I draw so much from my father too, in different ways. But I draw so much from my mother because when my father was at work, my mother was the one at home. So we spent more time around her. So I draw so much from her strength, from her determination, from her will, all of that. You know, that's all in me. I got to see two people love each other. I never saw my parents argue in front of each other. Now
you be in front of y'all.
I mean, in front of us. Yeah. Never. Like, I'm sure they had some type of disagreements, but for the years, all the years that they were together until she passed, they managed to be disciplined enough to never do it in front of us. I failed at that because I've been married twice and I didn't argue in front of all my kids. I'm not proud of that, but I didn't necessarily learn it, but I always admired that. Like, how did y'all do that? Because
we just let it go.
Woo! Now, at this age, I'm cooler, but back then, yeah, I got to tell you this right now. I don't care if the baby's crying. You need to hear this shit right now. Because I told you, you know.
Let me tell you this, and we're going to leave this alone.
That's right. And one more thing. Got me for hoops. I think you talking to. Yeah, that's enough about the childhood, I think. Because I could keep going.
Okay.
Like, it's
okay.
Beautiful, I mean, brother and sister, Tasha, Bishop, you know. Grew up with an older sister, as I said, younger brother. For those that don't know, Bishop is my younger brother. Everybody think, my name is Edward Crawley Jr. Now, most people, if they're a junior, they're usually the son that's born first. Most times. Now, in some cases where people are named the second one, the junior. I'm Ed Jr., so you should automatically know I'm the older brother. But for y'all that don't know, he's taller, but I'm older. 14 months apart. And then my sister, Tasha Renee Crawley Boone.
Why you call her old name?
I didn't mean to.
Get in, Tosh.
Sweet, elegant, delight. Delight. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember because she changed the name recently to that.
Miss T to me.
Yeah, it used to be Miss T.
I saw ordering with her, with Miss T. With my lemon cupcakes.
That's
and
right.
Blue icing with the purple.
That's right. She's the best.
She know what I want.
She's the best.
Bring me a cupcake, Tasha.
All right. We can go to something else.
I got a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Still on childhood, but you can answer it and we can move on to Nova State.
Okay.
Is there anything you dreamed of as a child and did not accomplish? Or that you did accomplish? You look sneaky. What you about to do?
No, I was about to be silly. I wanted to be a Thundercat. And my brother, if he watched this, his imagination was so good when we were young. And I'm going to get to a serious one, too. It was so good. He used to come home from school, right? And he would convince me that, and he going to probably, I can't get the whole story right, that we were about to get the cat's lair from the Thundercats built. Like, he really had me going with that. So, and me, I was, as far as Thundercats, Panthro was my favorite one. So, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to be Panthro. Like, and he let this lie go on for a minute. Now, we kids, and looking back, I'm like, How did he have the wherewithal to every day tell this lie to me?
Oh, he had that much power over you, and you the oldest.
We were younger.
You supposed to be not be.
We were younger than you. People got to realize. Okay, nowadays because I'm the one that is out front saying all the crazy stuff. He's the comedian. If y'all are ever around him, don't be around him at a funeral. You're going to laugh.
Oh, he want to watch.
He's the one. He don't care. Like certain places, I try to be like. If he gonna laugh, this Negro gonna laugh wherever, whenever. So don't look at him because he'll just be sitting there looking at you.
He just said Bishop so much. I had to sit here and think of what his first name was. Or I forgot. Well,
we call him Bishop too. He just said it so much. We call him Bishop. But yeah. A serious one though. No, pretty much. Well, because in one part, I was going to say I wish I had done more with drumming, but I'm still alive, so ultimately I'm going to do something else with music. I don't know what yet. So I can't say that's something I haven't fulfilled because I still have time to fulfill some of that. I do remember at a young age, I always said I wanted to, you know, some kids say I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor. I would always say I want to own different businesses. Now, I'm not to the level I want to be,
but
I have owned a few different businesses, starting with Crawley's Cleaning Service, which me and my ex-wife...
And that was, I was going to ask you that, so go ahead and tell us some of the stuff that you, occupations you have.
And with that, we did cleaning homes. We started with cleaning homes, and then her, being astute as she is, business, you know, I ain't going to say business-minded, but just being a go-getter, she got some contracts, so we had a contract to clean the FedEx building, P&S Trucking, Care Advantage right there on Main Street. We actually had a car wash for a minute. The Old Grill, if y'all remember that, right down there past 7-Eleven. We had a car wash for a minute. Actually, I think this business is still running up under a new name, but that started with her and I together. You know, it's Crawley's Cleaning Service. I've done some multi-level marketing. I can't remember the very first one I did when I was like 20. I think it was called ITT or something like that. I've done, some of y'all are familiar with Five Links. I did that. Other businesses. The Smell of Victory. The one I did for the longest. And I recently just stopped doing it. People still don't want to believe I stopped. Look at even Cookie don't want to believe I stopped. I did it so long. Now, at some point it may come back. But for right now, I'm focusing more on digital content like stuff I'm doing now.
Now, he does good.
And I enjoy
this. Did you know that you can do it?
Like at least two or three years ago, I knew I had something. Because even just with my Facebook posts, I was able to engage so much with people. And I'm like, why do these people want to talk to me? Like, I don't know if you've been on, like, over the years, I've had some posts. Were you on the post when...
Ain't no telling.
It started from I simply posted that my daughter, this is when Vita was going to join the band. And I think I just made one sentence about she was going to join G-Force. And then a young lady came up there talking crazy about the band directors and everything else. So as far as the comments go, band parents and stuff started coming in and started jumping her. Just started getting all on her case. And the term smash came from that post.
Okay.
Crawled. Smash. That post went on for like 2 days with over like 1,200 comments because...
What? Was that the band her 11th or 12th grade? Because I was at the school with Vita. Okay, I was at the school. I remember that post. I remember that post. Okay.
And that post went... It was snowing that day, so I didn't have to go to work. So I said, I'm going to go to the gym. So I typed the post, and I walked to the Y because I didn't have a vehicle at the time. You know, worked out. And I kept seeing notifications popping up. Walked back home, took a shower, whatever. Took a nap. When I woke up, I just had mad messages like, "Ed, go back to your post. Go back to your post. That joint is going crazy." It got like, this one, it only had like maybe 200-300 comments. "Your post going crazy. Get back up there." So I went back up there. And this girl was trying to go back and forth with everybody, but her grammar was so bad. People were trying to stop going at her, but her grammar was so bad. It was like, "Yo, you keep just giving us alley-oops." So it just kept going. I had... family members of hers hit me up. I had other people, I ain't gonna be too specific, that was hitting me up saying, "Ed, can you please take the post down?" And at that time, I was like more petty. I was like, no, it has to happen.
It's my
fault. I was like, for one, she was disrespectful. And she started saying,
because you ain't asked her all
Yeah, I was like, this was a post about my
child. Yeah, about your child. Come on, sis.
And she keeps being disrespectful, saying things, taking shots at me. And I ain't even said, hadn't even said nothing to her, but she taking shots at me. And she keep going at these people. So I have to let it happen. You know what I'm saying? And it just kept going on and on and on. So I was saying that to say, I noticed that I could get people to engage. I don't know why. I don't know where. Well, I kind of know where it came from. Some of it came from church. You got to realize, even from a young age, my brother and I always had to be up front. Always.
Oh.
When they had little church quizzes and stuff. We used to win all the little trophies. Because we had to know so many scriptures that it was like second nature to know who fought the Battle of Jericho, Joshua. It was like simple stuff to us. Stuff that people struggle with finding out and knowing. Even to this day, it's so much of that stuff still in my head. It's like, if I never pick up another Bible again, I've had so much put in me that don't debate with me, y'all.
You are the walking Bible.
Don't debate with me.
Can't y'all imagine Ed being like that little boy? I'm tired of this church.
That was my hero. I was like, that's my nigga right there.
Oh, he said, I'm sick of this. He said, I'm tired of this church. That's Ed, y'all. That was Ed.
You know. But I knew I could just get people to engage.
Okay.
So I was like, man, I should start a podcast. But I'm thankful I didn't start it when it came to mind, because I wasn't mature enough. And I would have started it and I would have been saying things that were more damaging out of hurt. You know, I would have been right about the stuff I said. But now I'm more aware that this stuff, even I'm aware now as I talk to y'all, this is going to be up forever. So I want to represent myself. And anything that happened throughout the story in the right way, that I can look back at it at any point in my life and say, okay, I'm proud of how I did that. Or I might wish I added something else to it, but I don't want to ever look at it and say, I wish I didn't say that. So it's going to be up forever. And I'm actually honored that people like yourself and others actually take the time to sit down and talk to me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know.
I was like waiting for somebody else when that first came to jump on and say, I'll do it. I was like, let me take a shot.
And it's not that I wouldn't think you would, but I just didn't think of it. So when you hit me up and I thought about it, I was like, that actually makes sense.
I had a free weekend and I was let me jump on.
And nobody else hit me up. And since you've been on, now I didn't say everybody, but
I set the tone.
Yeah, you set the tone. And it let people know, oh, it's kind of okay to go. Because I see.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It ain't messy. I ain't up here trying to make nobody look bad. We just having a really good conversation.
We are. Yeah. And it's enlightenment.
Yeah.
It's enlightenment.
And that's what I want. I want us to come out, whoever listens to it, come out of it with something. That's it. Whatever you draw from it, but come out of it with something. Even if it's just, man, that was funny, at least you got some joy out of it. Come out of it
with
something.
Oh, we made you laugh because you made
that's what I'm saying.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I found it amazing when I came here the first time. It's like, hey, you edit all this yourself? I'm thinking he do it and then let somebody edit it.
Nah. I do everything.
Let somebody else edit. He does everything. Like,
I was in the DMV all day yesterday.
That's your second weekend, though. I mean, well, you was in Northern Virginia last weekend.
Yeah.
Rolling.
I was just up there.
True truck driver. Stay on the road.
Yeah, I got out the truck the next day. No. Let me take that back. I got out the truck Friday. Took care of a few things. Went and got my hair cut. Went up to Northern Virginia. Got a room for the night. Went to Baltimore Saturday morning, did a shot of podcast, came back down to McLean, Virginia, shot some contracted material for somebody, drove all the way back. We hung out on the roof with Marco and them, hung out for a minute, got back, drove 2.5 hours to Emporia, came to the office and edited the podcast. I stayed up and edited the one that's coming out at 4 o'clock.
And he tried to get me up at 10 o'clock, and yeah, I drove an hour.
I'm a machine, man.
I drove an hour and couldn't get up.
Y'all let all these jokey jokes fool you. My work ethic is ridiculous.
And that's good.
For real. I don't end up with the bag at some point, God, you cheated me. That's how I feel for real, because I'm out here getting to it.
That work ethic, what? You think that came from your mom and your dad?
I said it came from my pops, because I've never seen him. Okay, in retrospect, I still don't know the full reason, but I know he left Hedrick Myers kind of based on his morals. I didn't get the full story because, you know, back then they're not going to tell you all their business.
Right.
But I know it has something to do with what they were expecting of him at a certain point went against who he was.
Who he was as a ethical.
Yeah.
He was ethic, you know, so.
But even when he decided to walk away from there, you know, because of his background, he was good at carpentry, good at roofing, good at painting.
Oh, he got dirty because he always was.
People always saw him in suits, but my.
Shout out
and
to
I'm
going to
get
dad.
To that. But yeah, my pop, he could do everything. Like, okay. The house we got, like the extra parts that was built onto our house, he did most of that himself. People helped out, but I watched my pops do a lot of that in the evenings himself. He just got to a point in his life where I guess he figured, I'm going to pay somebody to do this stuff now. I can do it, but I'd rather keep my suits on. And I'll pay somebody to do it. But he could do it. So he made sure we didn't go without. So, okay, he had to get out of his suits and get on the roof, start roofing and painting.
Okay.
Stuff like that until he went on to, I think it was Moore's, the hardware store over Carolina. They used to be across from the mall. I don't know if you remember that.
No, no.
Yeah, it was Moore's. It was like a hardware store.
So he never did shoes?
Yeah, I'm going to get up to
that.
Oh,
okay.
And I might be a little out of order.
Okay.
I think he went from there to Purdue or from Purdue to there.
Okay.
Then I think it was either after he left Purdue or left Moore's. That's when shoes was opening up. And he went there when it was on Halifax Street, the old Bloom Brothers building. If y'all old enough, y'all remember when it was Bloom Brothers. You do remember that, right?
My dad worked at Bloom Brothers, but I'm too young.
You don't remember Bloom?
I'm too young.
Wow, yeah, we used to go in
my
there.
My dad worked there.
Yeah, I remember Bloom. Vaguely, but I remember it, yeah. And that became the Shules furniture, the old one. And just truth be told, my pops was the best salesman in there. Y'all heard what I said?
Shout out to Ed Senior.
So that's part of where I get selling stuff from, too. My pops was a salesman. So he worked at Shules Furniture. Whew. He didn't work in the new building, but he worked
that corner.
He worked that. That was his corner. Most older people around the town that bought furniture at a certain point, they bought it from my pops. I ain't heard him mention no other salesman, but.
Helen Myers there.
Helen Myers. Yeah, he used to work at Helen Myers. I mean, these are older people that remember my pops from back then. What was the question you said? Where did I get the work ethic? Yeah, okay. The work ethic plus the entrepreneurial side. Because at a certain point, my father, he ventured off into real estate. You know, he took the real estate courses or whatever and got certified with that and ventured off and started doing real estate.
Okay.
And around that time, and I know you said we get to the Norfolk State thing, I was just coming back home and kind of trying to find my way. This is when he came across the network marketing thing, and he started giving us little nuggets about entrepreneurship. You know, not the full thing, but that's when the seed was first planted. Years ago, before it fully started blooming later in life, he was the first one to plant that. That's when I first read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad and stuff like Who Moved My Cheese and things of that nature. Years ago. People talk about them books
book.
Now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20-some years ago, me and my brother read those books.
Okay, yeah. Who Moved My Cheese.
Yeah, so that's why when people come up to me with network marketing and stuff, I'm and this is facts, my brother and I'm not saying we were the first, but we were some of the first people around here doing network marketing before anybody else knew about it. Some were doing prepaid, legal, and stuff like that, but we were in that group of first people around our age group doing network marketing 20 plus years ago. So the work ethic, I say that come from my pops.
Okay. So now, on to Norfolk State.
Okay.
What drew you to Norfolk State? Hold on.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
The booty gate. No, I'm just
messing.
Where did you stay? Because look, you went to Norfolk State in 97. Fall.
In the fall.
I came in January. I never saw you on campus.
Because I was gone. I ain't stay.
You was gone. You stayed once a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about it. What drew you to Norfolk State?
And I'm going to give it to you. 1993, I was in the marching band. 1993, we saw a VHS tape of the Norfolk State Spartan Legion. And anybody that knows anything about black college bands or college bands in period, at that time, they were unstoppable. To this day, they're still the best in my opinion. But
shout out to my alma mater, Norfolk State University.
And it was something about like the odd number years. I don't know if it's still like that now, but like the odd number years with the band, they would be huge and they would sound like a fucking, I can't even explain it without getting chill bumps, yo. Like, So we matter of fact, the first drill we heard by them was the war drill. You won't know some of this what I'm talking about, but anybody that's a band here
Nelson
knows.
Nelson in person. They were in the band when we got there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We walked all the smarts to have school together. Rhetoric was the first one to go. I think he was the first one to go.
I remember that.
Playing the trumpet.
They left in, what, 94?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah. And Nelson and Purcell was the year before me. They 96.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all of us, that's when we first kind of started like, yo, what is this? We have to go there because we weren't being exposed to, we knew Hampton couldn't hang with them. Virginia State, and this is facts. Most of the drum lines and everything nowadays that are good is because they had to catch up to the Million Dollar Funk Squad. That's a fact, y'all. Because even back in the 80s, they was already 20 years ahead of everybody. So just in like maybe the last 10, 15 years, bands like Virginia State and Hampton and Jackson State and different ones, as far as the percussion, have caught up to the Million Dollar Funk Squad. Now everybody say they're always playing the same thing. But you have to realize at one point, them playing that all the time was still way better than anything any other percussion section was playing. That's a fact. So, Mr. Woodley had gone there one summer for band camp. He took us down there to Norfolk State for their band camp. And we got to go in the band room and watch MDFS practice. And I was like, I have to figure out how I can learn how to be this good. Because you see them crossing their hands all up and just with the mean mug. And, oh my gracious, man. Sports is cool, and people would try to play the band like it was some soft. I absolutely promise you, most people could not handle band camp. You would cry like a little kid because it's not soft like y'all think.
I heard it's some tough.
It's football and stuff. Because you got to realize, we would get to the band room before y'all when football season and stuff was going on, and we would still be there after y'all was finished practicing. We practiced longer than anybody. The band practice, especially the percussion section, we practice longer than anybody. So, okay, we got exposed to it. That was my first, like, okay, now he took us down there, we could see it. Okay, so now it's actually visible. Oh, these are the people we saw on the tape, boom, boom, boom. You start seeing different ones like Squatch, they play the tuba, and TJ and Tony, and different names you heard.
Calling those names.
Yeah, different ones are Pooh and... You start seeing the faces of the people you heard. You like, and it's almost like you're seeing famous people. You know what I'm saying? At that age. So, progress. Then 95, they was monsters again. And you got to realize we graduated in 97. So I'm like, look, I got to just start practicing. So everywhere I went, I had my sticks. And just about every class, especially Spanish class, when it got to the point he wouldn't let me cheat off of my homegirl's paper, I told him, look, if I can't cheat off of her, I'm going to fail. So I'm going to just sit in the back of the class and play with my drumsticks. And that's all I did every day. I just sat back there when I was at home. I had my practice pad. My knees not messed up because no matter what, if I had free time, I'm practicing on my legs, on a pillow, in the air, on the wall, on the bricks. On the steps, on the book, everywhere. See if I can do it on a paper towel. Just anywhere I could play some drums that I was going to play because I had to make the drum line. And I knew that I was better. I was the best candidate from in the Southside region. There was nobody as good as me at Southampton, Brunswick, Sussex.
Oh.
Thomas Jefferson. I could keep naming them. Nazma River probably was closest.
Yeah.
But then we shut them down our senior year, too.
Shout out to Nasmin, because my monsters. College roommate, my girlfriend right now, Tiff, she went to Nasmin. She was a play.
And I was going to say, and they had a lot of Norfolk State influence, at least back then, because their band directors and stuff were from Norfolk State. Mm-hmm. A lot of the band directors in the area at the time was from Norfolk State, Southampton, Sussex. We never really count Brunswick. And I'm talking about as far as band. They never really was a factor as far as band went. Maybe football, basketball, right. But they know as far as band.
Right. No. Tell okay. No. Okay.
Like I say, Southampton, Sussex, a few others. It was a lot of Norfolk State influence. Now it's different ones now, Bethune, Cookman and stuff, and that's cool. But For a time, like this whole region was influenced heavily by Norfolk State marching band. So, okay, anyway, fast forward. My senior year came, you know. Mr. Woodley got, matter of fact, Bam from Sussex, which was the band director. He marched with Million Dollar Funk Squad. He got him to come work with me a little bit. You know, kind of make sure, because you had a sheet of music that you had to play for your tryout. So he just made sure I was right. You know, whatever, whatever. August 97, I drove to Norfolk State with my car full of my stuff. I didn't have a radio in my car. I had a CD player. And I had a speaker. I had a cord running to the speaker that I had in my back seat. And the Wu-Tang, our double CD had just came out right before we graduated. So I played that all the way down to Norfolk. And I stayed with Purcell doing band camp, because the drummers had to come a week early. And I wore some boots that was like a half a size too small, so that's why my toes are like a little jacked up now. But even just band camp is like one of the most memorable experiences, because you go right from high school where you still have some structure and have to answer to your parents. You know what, you even though you might stay late, you know at a certain time where I got to go home now, blah, blah, blah. We would get there about 7 in the morning, and there was plenty of times we were there till midnight. Wow. And have to be right back up 7 o'clock in the morning. And you finish when you're done. And you realize, oh, I can't call mama, tell them they still got me in band camp. And these men can cuss me out, and I'm either going to take it or I can quit. But it ain't no, I'm going to tell somebody they cussing at me. You had to just take it and decide if that's what you wanted or not. I got to meet some very amazing people, some very talented people. I actually met a guy, and I'm going to say his name, Columbus. You know, like on Drumline, the Nick Cannon character just naturally played stuff from by ear. He was just good. Mm-hmm. He could play anything. I met a guy. You could literally play something for him one time, and he could play it right back. But he didn't march. He said, I ain't marching the band in high school or nothing. He was just a natural talent. He said, I just wanted to try it. I'm like, dude, now I've played drums most of my life, and I'm struggling. And you come in here and just, they show you how to play this, and you just play it right back to him. I was like, that's amazing. But he didn't realize how amazing it was. He didn't realize, like, dude, nobody does that. Nobody just plays this complicated stuff.
Just because.
Just after seeing it one time. So I met some really, really interesting people. I had a lot of nicknames when I was there. Because I got so dark being in the sun, one of the cymbal players used to, you know, AEC, extra crispy. Well, he'll start singing the theme song to DuckTales. Call me Darkwing Duck. He had a few nicknames while I was there. Almost got kicked out one night. Hanging with Richard Brown and some other guys.
Frog. Shout out to our class.
And that's an interesting
R.B. Richard.
But that's
Brown
an interesting
Frog
story too. Like I said, we good. And I ain't seen him in years, so peace to you, man. Actually, in high school, he and I didn't like each other. And we ended up being roommates when we got married. I was like, ain't this something?
See, but y'all left me. But I stayed back a semester.
But the crazy part is, once you talk to a person, you realize we dislike each other.
Just a country?
Yeah, like, dude, we actually cool. You cool, I'm cool. Like, so we were hanging out one night around the fountain that's by...
What dorm?
I went in the towers, but I smoked some weed in the towers. Plenty of weed in the towers.
You weren't in the tower. You was in the man's dorm over there.
Smith
was on the other side.
No, I'm talking about what was the man joint? How I not remember the dorm I stayed in. But
I can't remember that.
The towers right here, I stayed in the men's
dorm. And you were in the men's dorm, and then Rosa was right there.
Rosa right there. And I can't remember that. Yeah, but I stayed in that dorm.
Because Charles Smith was on the other side.
Yeah, I
can't remember that dorm. Most of my homeboys stayed in that dorm over there. I get it on the way home.
Yeah, it's up to me. But we were around that fountain right there.
Yeah, right there on that side.
And, you know, we smoked weed or whatever. And we looked over, and it was a guy seen around campus. And I was like, man, that's an undercover right there. He stepped out of the darkness and had a camera. We took off running. And we shot over to the neighborhoods and stuff right across the street.
Over by Wheatley.
Yeah. Ran all the way around the campus and came out on the other side by the gym. But let me tell you what they did. Now, these some outcomes.
Yeah, we went down Princess Anne.
We ran all the way around.
By Booker T?
Yes. We went all the way around the school, around the whole freaking joint. And it was a couple guys, big dudes, husky athlete dudes, football players and stuff. They're like, hey, you go back across campus first. I'm the smallest dude. You go back first. If they don't catch you, then we know we good. My dumb ass high as hell. And because I just sometimes, I don't care. I'm like, man, I'm going to get across campus. So I was like, they might get caught, but I'm getting across campus. So I said, man, fuck it. I made it on across campus. Boom, boom, boom. That night was cool. So maybe 2 weeks later, I came downstairs. I was going to warm up some noodles in the lobby in the downstairs. As soon as I came down, the undercover and two police officers was there. As soon as I came out the door, he said, that's him right there. So evidently they was looking for me. Because I was the only one he actually saw. You know what I'm saying? They pulled me in the office and started talking, boom, boom, boom. Trying to get me to tell who the other people was. I never told them who. Even though, like I said, Richard was my roommate. I never told nobody who was with me. You know. They scared me really bad. They was about to put me out, but they didn't. They chose not to, you know. But I get out of that situation. But what else? I don't know if I'm still answering your questions.
Oh, yeah. You talked about, you know, Norfolk State. What drew you to there? We know the band, of course.
And I had never seen that many women just concentrate.
The ratio
of women. I was like.
Something to one.
It was
about 6-1.
It was more than that. It was something like that. It was a high ratio.
It was a high to one.
Oh my gracious. I mean, all kind of in the. It was some fine things.
Pray.
Oh my gracious. Yeah. I didn't get to partake though because I didn't stay long enough. But I smoked a lot of weed when I was there.
I didn't smoke any when I was there.
I went to the sweatbox a few times.
Sweatbox.
Yeah, that was legendary. Actually, I used to go quite a few times. Then get that Chanello's pizza. Get the Chanello's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Chanello's life, lifesaver.
Come to the gate.
Yeah, that Jones a lifesaver.
Come to the gate. Yeah, they stay up all night.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead. You can go. You can
all right. Chanello. You.
Because I think that was. Did I answer it good? I don't know.
Why did you leave? Just answer that.
I'm going to be honest, right? Because I've. And that's going to actually boost you into the. It's going to be like a little segue. I was out of high school. I had a little girlfriend, right?
Why she had to be a little girlfriend?
Because she had a big girlfriend. Because she was skinny back then. With a big booty. But my body was in Norfolk, but my mind was in Emporia. Trying to figure out what she was doing. Like, I couldn't. Because I couldn't fathom that she didn't want
to. What did I tell you before we start? Yeah. I come on every weekend. In spring of 98. And go to the Q Club.
Hey, yeah, you did.
I'm telling you, my cousin, I remember one weekend, they found me a rat to come home.
And so
every
thing,
weekend.
If I could have came home more, but my parents went with though, we ain't coming to get you every weekend.
Right. Old like, school parents.
So I was on campus, you know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, if it won't Christmas break,
yeah,
time for you to come home for the summer, they ain't come, or they maybe like came to visit, but you ain't going back.
That one semester, I saw them when they took me, and I saw them when my mama came and got me.
I cried and wanted to transfer to Virginia State, and my mom was like, "Yeah, you staying there, and you chose to go there, you staying."
And see, the crazy part is now, I guess back then in my mind, I was so far away, but now it's like, that's Norfolk right down
the road. Norfolk right there. Love my city.
Yeah.
So, come on. We're going in relationships. We just left Norfolk. We're coming back to Emporia.
Come on with it.
Let's talk about your relationship. And I didn't put this in any order. But okay. I'm going to ask this one first. And then I ask this one next. Mm-hmm. Ed has told y'all 1,253 times that he's been divorced twice.
Twice, man.
He has children out of both marriages.
Which I'm proud of that. At least my kids about both of my wives.
Right. Don't judge us.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just busting with you. Very well.
Bust it. I know both young ladies. Love them to death.
Beautiful women.
Shout out to them. But having been married twice and divorced twice, having children, it's a long question. Having children out of both marriages, what's different?
What's different now?
What's different?
Well, we were young, yo. You got to realize, I got with my first one. I ain't gonna put a name up there because she might not be comfortable with that. But I was with her. I was 19 when I got with her. See, she was 23.
I mind my business. I wouldn't have never known that. Yeah. She is older.
I was just coming back from Nova State trying to figure out my life. I started working at Purdue. That's when her and I connected.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was 19. And life just started moving fast. Like, and when you don't have anybody to really advise you, not that they didn't care.
Or slow you down.
Or slow you down, but it seems like back then, older people didn't really talk to you. They'd give you a little phrase that sounds slick that you'll figure out later in life.
Like,
but they won't actually tell you.
Like, hand kids out of wedlock.
Yeah, they won't. Yeah,
they don't say that till you get pregnant.
Right, they won't really give you the full thing.
And you ain't married.
Right. So, you know, like you say, looking back, I think we both will admit we were young, yo. Trying to do the best I could with what I thought I knew. You know, we got married. And let me tell y'all, though, she broke my heart. I'm going to tell you, though, it's funny at the end. When I found out she was pregnant with Naya. This was the night of the Mike Tyson Lennox Lewis fight. We went to my sister's house, my sister and my brother-in-law, to watch the fight. So, you know, fight happened. Of course, we know Lennox ended up knocking Tyson out. Boom, boom, boom. So, as things are going on, they said, hey, go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom. I had to use it anyway. Went in there, and it's a test strip, pregnancy strip. Laying on the counter, and I guess they left the little instructions of what it meant. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I know they ain't just telling me this after Tyson got knocked out. I'm in here struggling because Tyson just got knocked out, and you telling me you pregnant? So I ain't know how to feel. Like, am I supposed to be happy right now? Because I'm sad. Mike Tyson just got knocked out, and you telling me you pregnant? Is this supposed to lift my spirits or make me sadder? All I know is I got really drunk that night. That, but fast forward,
and that was on two.
Yeah, and
because I got pregnant on the summer on two.
Okay, that's like the same age.
I got pregnant on the summer on two.
Outdoors the same age. Okay, so, and I think we both were doing what we thought was the right thing with her carrying my child and things of that nature. I married her. I grew up in the church. You taught certain things, so. Not saying the only reason I married her was because she was pregnant, but in trying to do the right thing, with that being the case, I said, okay, well, this is the next step. Like I said, ultimately, I got married on my 23rd birthday. Okay. So I'll never forget that.
So did you started dating her when you got back? So you came home January 98?
I came home around the Christmas break. I came home.
Okay, and you just stayed home.
Yeah, just like before the Christmas break, yeah. And so I got a job.
Okay.
Because my pops told me, he said, well, if you ain't going back to school, you got to get a job. Simple as that.
Simple, yeah, okay.
And I respect him for it, but no type of life advice or nothing. Just, you ain't going back to school, you got to get a job. I applied for Purdue. I think the nurse kind of looked out for me because I had not stopped smoking weed at all. But I got the job. So she must have, I used to date her daughter. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
She
got me in there because my sister won't clean, but I got a job. So that's how I ended up dating my first kid's mother. And I credit it more to me being young, because I was younger than her, me being young and mature. I had some habits. I was still smoking a lot of weed back then. I was looking at a lot of porn. I ain't even lie. Look, I'm honest. I had a lot of porn, a lot of nasty books, booty books, titty books, coochie books. I had a bag full of just pornos and stuff that at a certain point, you ain't got to give me none. I'm going to get
this. I saw a Facebook post that said those porn tapes y'all parents had up under the bed hit different. VHS tape.
They used to call me the flick daddy, baby. I used to loan out my tapes. Hey, I was a porn dude. I had a whole bag full of the joints. Going to video store.
You know they kept them up under the bed.
My parents, if they, I don't think my parents had none, but my homeboy, his, his folks is at work. That's when I was like, whoa, Asians got cute coochie too? Oh, okay. Yeah, but like I said, in trying to do the right thing, what was I talking about? I won't even blame her. You know, I was very immature, and I was, like I said, I was still smoking a lot of weed, and I was torn between, do I want to still hang out, or do I want to be, what's being a husband at 23, yo? I'm still trying to figure out.
Learning life.
But not even that, I'm still trying to figure out, I didn't process, I ain't going back to school, boom, boom, boom. I didn't process the transition, and already I'm in another situation. And that's what I've done, well, up until like the last few years. Just let things transition over into each other before I put closure to something else.
So how is it with, and I know my girl, so how is it with Naya? How's your relationship with?
That's my dog, man.
Is she asking, has she ever had any questions?
About what part?
About her childhood, how you and her mom.
Not yet. Every once in a while, I tell her little things, you know. Just little stuff along the way I might point out to her.
I mean, because you don't have to tell them everything. You don't have to tell the kids everything.
But she hadn't really asked me, but her and I
and
have
they
a
don't
really,
ask. They different. Don't.
But me and Naya probably talk. I have a relationship with all my kids, but her and I probably talk more than anyone.
But I don't know if it's. Well, Tayara's my quiet child. Mm. That 5-year-old, that's my no limit soldier. That thing on the chain. 13 years apart.
Wow. Where'd she get that from?
She on the chain. She her own person. And got rhythm, too. A breakout in dance.
That's my son. He likes to dance. Yeah, but I'm just trying to. Okay. All of my kids and I have a unique relationship. But Naya and I, the relationship we had was formed based on certain things that happened with my second marriage.
Okay.
You know, but I didn't know if you wanted to get into that.
Okay. Yet. Yeah, so. Okay. And that was the question, having children in both marriages and not actually being in the same household with them now, you know.
It's been tough. It's.
And you can talk about them too.
Yeah, it's.
Another.
Okay.
Set of sweet kids. They're sweet for no reason. You're just sweet.
And thank good you. Kids. Overall, I have good kids.
You have good
and that's
kids.
A credit to their mother. I take some too because they came out of my ball sack. But
oh my God. Description.
Anything that comes out of my ball sack is good.
Description.
But their mother, thankfully, I chose dope mothers. Two sweet, good women. Whether we got along or whatever, they're good mothers to my kids. And I couldn't ask for anything better.
Did that, you all not getting along? And then you answer my other question.
I'm going to get good. Yeah, just might have to say it again.
Has it ever took you away from. Actually, because some men just automatically ain't getting along with their mama, you know, and they don't have to verbally say it, but their actions show different. So they may not actually, they kind of step away from the kids, and it hurts the kids in the long run. Because in that process, it can bring some resentment for some. Even us, not having your father in your life may, if that was the case, that's not his case.
Right.
Could have impacted you where it may not have impacted your sister.
Yeah, because everybody processes it differently.
Right, right.
Well, okay, here's the thing. With my oldest two, there was, because I haven't always been the perfect father. I'm still not perfect. I try my best.
I'm not a perfect mother.
So. And I can't give all the details to this particular story, but some information was divulged that shouldn't have been about the person that divulged it. And it ended up causing a situation where I didn't actually see my kids. I talked to them, but I didn't see my kids for about a year. This was some years ago.
Okay.
It was some years ago. Like I said, I can't tell the details of it. Now, that did cause some damage that was later on. We good now. Me and my kids good now. But it did.
See, that's what you call too much information to the kids.
Yeah.
It's just some stuff And if you, especially if you're grown.
Yeah, they should have told them that.
You know better.
It was either my place or the mother's place to tell that, but the person that told, you know, and I can't, I can't say too much on that.
You know better. Do better.
Yeah. And then, okay, that was one situation. But otherwise, I've been around my kids. Like, you know, especially like when she was working at the prison on the shift she was working. When she was working, I would have them, and when she was off, she would have them. So at one time, you know, I had
it was a good little balance, but
yeah, with the youngest kid's mother, when we first split up for good, yeah, I had nowhere to stay and stuff. For a few weeks and stuff, no, I didn't see my kids because I really didn't have nowhere to go. I was sleeping in an empty building, sleeping on the people's couches.
Looking at this young man,
staying with a schizophrenic dude.
And never knew that about me.
Yeah, I've been homeless before. People think I be joking when I say that stuff. Like, no, I've been homeless before. You know, real homeless, yo. Stayed with a dude that was schizophrenic. He put me out for no reason. I had to find somewhere to sleep.
Did you know he was schizophrenic when you moved in?
I did, but here's what I think it was. His girlfriend had moved in, right? And when he would take his medication and go to sleep, she would have conversations, try to converse with me. I think she wanted me to.
Okay.
And I didn't ever take the bait or go for it. So I think she just was like, get him out of here.
Oh, okay.
Made it like I was a problem because I wouldn't fuck her. But,
You know who you are. Say it.
Huh?
You know who you are. You watching.
Yeah. If you watching. But other than that, I've always tried my best. Have I been the best? Ultimately, that'll be up to my kids to say whether I was a good father or not. I think I'm decent. I think I do good. But ultimately, if they be like, he want a good father.
Something happened to make them.
Yeah. Possible. It would have to be something that I've done or didn't do to make them say that. Now, would I think they would say that? No. And see, I'm the type, I've asked my kids, and I do every so often, like, what can I do to improve as a father? What am I not doing? Now, whether they give me an answer or not, I ask them. So.
And they growing. Gosh.
Growing, two of them grown.
Yeah.
I'm a granddaddy now.
Papa.
Ooh, I love
AED. It. AED. Somebody get the AED.
He is all right. That's my little man.
Yes. He looks just like you. Have y'all seen the pictures?
No, he don't look like me. He like his dad.
Oh, you talking about the grandbaby?
Yeah,
yeah. I thought you were talking about your youngest.
He like his mama, his dad. Yeah, now.
Nah, your youngest when you was a child.
He do look like me. That's my
dad. There you.
Don't need no DNA test for that. Yeah, no DNA test needed.
Thank you for sharing that. I hope y'all got some from that, what he just said. He dropped the seed just now. It's okay to say, hey, I haven't been the best father.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm doing what I can do at the moment, and I'm still striving.
It's not easy.
He didn't say those words, but that's what.
Yeah, and not being in the household, like, for fathers that care, they'll get what I'm saying. Because some of y'all don't care, and you can't be my friend if you don't even try to take care of kids. I don't have any deadbeat homeboys. I'm letting you know, don't try to be cool with Ed if you don't take care of your kids, because I'm going to stop fucking with you. I had to say it like that. But not being in the home, not intentionally, but we miss out on little things. Even like the event you mentioned earlier. I don't think they intentionally didn't tell me about it, but sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, so they didn't tell me.
And
didn't mean no harm, but it still bothers me because it's like, dang, man.
But you know what? And it was, I wish things were different for them right now because it was just us. Yeah. I ain't tell.
Okay.
I mentioned to my mom. So, you can go back.
Yeah, because it don't even feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same. Because
the only thing, she probably ain't care either.
Yeah, so.
You ain't missing that. But it's just little stuff that, even in their development, just little things that we miss out on. Not because we want to, but unfortunately, we're not in the house.
You're not in the house.
Yet. You know, so we try to do the best we can.
And I know they like you saying, they inform you as much as possible.
Yeah, and it's like I said, I don't. It used to bother me a lot
more. You're not out of the loop.
Yeah,
it's just some things you just.
They just don't get told. I miss or. Yeah, like I said, I used to take it more personal, but I realized it's not personal. It's just like some things I do. I may not think to tell them when I probably could. Right. If them, you know.
No harm in.
Yeah. But that comes with maturity, thinking that it's being done intentional. Right. Or, but and sometimes it still bothers me that, and I can't give the whole situation, but my brother was asking me about something the other day, and I was like, nah, because it's not going to feel right if everybody else is able to do this, but I'm there kind of as like the third wheel. And he's like, well, you can't think about it like that, boom, boom, boom. And what he said was right. And I told him, I said, just be thankful you're not in a position where you have to even think this way. You know, being a father outside the home. Thankfully, he's in the house with his kids. Right. And I just say, be thankful you're not in a position that you have to even think these thoughts that I think. And he's like, you know what? You're right. And we just left it at that. You know. So, that's it.
And things with fathers come with growth and maturity.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on the side where I'm a compromise. I'm a compromise with you. I'm a compromise with my girls' fathers. Mm. Now, if you decide not to do whatever you have the opportunity to do, then that's on you.
And be clear, my kids' mothers have never stopped me from seeing my kids.
So they pretty much clear. Like me.
Yeah, I don't want nobody to think that anything I'm saying is... They stood in the way. No. Because even at the period when I didn't see my kids, the mother made it clear. She was like, look, they're old enough. If they want to come, they can. But if they don't want to, I'm not going to make them. So she's never, but she just was always in a position, I'm going to protect them. So what's going on over there, that's not healthy for them. So if they don't want to come over there, I'm not going to make them. But if they say, yeah, we want to go ahead with your daddy. Same thing with my second one. Especially now that we've matured more and
we've
gotten past some of the pettiness we used to do. And I hit up like, I want to, come see him. Like, almost like, you really ain't got to ask. You got to ask, but
come. Out of respect, you ask. We ain't doing no pop-ups.
Nah.
You got to call before you come.
That's out of respect for the household. She's married and stuff, and I respect that man's house.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Ed is opening.
I don't just joke around, y'all. I actually got a lot to say.
And he opened doors for some of y'all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
With that alone, think before you act.
Yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
Of course, Ed has changed.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
So, paint that picture for us. What did your reevaluation look like? And I'm going to go ahead and ask you this question because you can put it all in one. What was your evaluation period, or what does reevaluation of yourself or your life look like, and what motivates you?
Okay. And actually, I'm still in that phase of reevaluating. And I want to talk about this without, my platform ain't about no drama, but I have to use certain situations from my past. Yeah, honey, that's good. From my past that I have to relate to show certain time frames. My last relationship taught me a lot. Just on the backside of it. It's not about how much a person wants you. You have to, as a man, I'm talking to men now, stay on your purpose. Regardless to what is going on. I don't care how good she look, how good she smell, how good she talk. None of that. If it's going to take you off your purpose, abort the mission. So I'm in the stage now where I know what I want. Yeah, I know what I'm attracted to. But I'm in the stage now where I know, is she going to be good around my grandson? Will my daughters like her? Will my son like her? Would I want to pop up with her at the family reunion? What kind of advice does she give? What kind of mother is she to her kids? Like the ones that cuss at the kids all the time. And I think about the fact that, yeah, I cuss every once in a while, but I'm still mindful around my kids, what I say and what I do. But if I notice you're not that way, you have the picture.
You're not good
for it's me. Easier for, now I'm at the stage where it's easier for me not to get caught up in just, oh, she look good and she talk good and Like, no, what do you come with? Money is not the only thing you bring to a table. You know, your character, your nurturing qualities, things of that nature. But about me, I'm evaluating to trust myself more, to trust my instincts more, to stop doubting myself, but also to know what my triggers are. To know what type of people, what type of situations trigger me. I'm a person that analyzes, I'm a Virgo, I analyze and sometimes overanalyze everything. And I'm becoming more and more aware of who I am and who I want to be and how I want to be seen. And the fact that I don't have to compromise that. Because I've done that so much because I thought I had to do it to please this person, or if I do this good enough, I please that person, or I keep her around if I do this. Just put more energy out into other people than I was actually having to. I was giving people that didn't deserve my energy or time of day to time of day. And that might sound arrogant.
It's not arrogant. We do it all the time. But I really have done it for too many years. We've done it for years.
And looking back, I was like, that person didn't deserve any of my time. But because of a lack in me or insecurity or something in me, I told myself, well, this is my level right here. Not realizing, nigga, you can have anything. So now I'm at that place where I realize I know what my strengths are. I used to doubt the things that I wanted to do or aspire to do or the visions I saw or whatever. I would doubt that in myself. But now it's like these things were put in me for a reason. And the more I fight against them, the longer the journey is going to take. So now I just embrace it all. Yeah, the good and the bad, but I know how to process the bad parts. I'm learning how because I haven't gotten there yet. Because I'm still going to go to therapy and stuff. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going. You don't get divorced twice without having some a little off up here, a little bit. Not crazy, but
so just... So you will get married the third time. You will get married for the third time. You will.
Now, listen. let me... Because it's kind of... It's like this. I would rather not have to sign paperwork. So if I could find a woman that our word was really our bond, and we structured our own paperwork and stuff the way we wanted, so if something happened to either one of us, we still covered, because you can do that. That would be the situation I would want. Now, granted, it may be someone that comes along that is so dope in so many areas, but one of her must-haves is she got to get married. If she's that dope, I'm
So you tapping into one of my questions. Yeah, so good. Run me some characteristics. Just one word. Come on. Run them.
Of external, internal, or just anything? Qualities of the woman?
Yep.
Like you mean physical or like what you mean?
Physical, emotional.
Okay.
Outer appearance, inner appearance, heart.
Okay. Like, I like them tall or short, but I'm brown, you know, close to the same height, brown skin.
So what if she tall? I mean...
Look, I've had tall.
You just short, Ed. Come on.
No, look. I've climbed trees. Hey, look. You better ask about me, yo. Stop playing.
You're crazy.
I've done a few things in my 41 years. But, okay, just optimally, just off the top of my head. Brown skin, titties, booty, maybe a kid or two. Preferably coming from a two-parent background with a healthy relationship, fairly healthy relationship with both parents, because that really does matter. You say it doesn't, but it does. You have a job or a career or be an entrepreneur. I prefer one that has like some entrepreneur aspirations so that she will understand how my mind works. Because if you just have a 9-to-5 mentality, you won't understand the mind of somebody that strives to own their own. It's going to be so hard. Because our mind doesn't operate within certain time constructs that yours does. Don't be, even if you, and see, I'm kind of up in the air with this one. Because I'm giving you qualities, but I kind of want one in the church, but I kind of want one that's not. But here's the conflict with that. The ones that's not, sometimes y'all worse than the ones that's in the church, because some of y'all, you got to be talking that quick. I'm going to start saying crazy stuff. Y'all 11-11 chicks be getting on my nerves. Y'all moon studying chicks. And I don't mean in a bad way, because some of y'all are official with what you do. So let me correct that. There are some beautiful people that study astrology and things of that nature. But some of y'all are just reciting this stuff and don't know what the hell you're talking about. So every time you see, oh, they go 333, that means such and such and such. I wish you would shut the fuck up. And I hate to say it like that. Because, the reason I say that, how useful is the information to your life? What good is knowing all this information if you're still not doing nothing with it, if your life not reflecting it? That's why I'm saying that. Believe what you want to believe, but let what you believe be a reflection. Be reflected in your walk. Simple as that. Any more qualities? Okay. Good mother. Because I pay attention to how women deal with their kids. Because I have kids. So it's imperative that I see, how do you explain things to them? Is your first instinct to yell when they call your name? Or what type of conversations? How far do you go in conversations around your kids? If your kid's father is not a good guy, do you talk about that around them? Do I have to tell you, like, hey, chill? Little stuff like that I pay attention to, because I don't want you to be around mine tripping. Because mine know what to kind of expect from me. Even when I have brought people around, they know, even though it might be a different person, they ain't gonna come around here tripping, because daddy don't put up with that. He ain't gonna bring nobody around here that's gonna be on no foolishness. So, that's just a few things quickly.
Okay. Did you answer my question? No.
I don't know.
What motivates you to succeed?
Oh, what motivates me to succeed? Going back to my mother, she's a huge inspiration.
Because I've heard you say it. I don't know if it's unconsciously.
What did I say?
I can do anything.
Well, that's what my mama told
me. Yeah. And I'm saying, when you was talking about your childhood, you said my mother. And I think you do it unconsciously. Yeah. I can do anything, you know. That's just your attitude now.
I didn't grasp it at first though. Like, even just over the last maybe 10 years or so, I really grasped that. Because my mother and I, and I'm answering your question, she was standing at my door, because I was just stubborn. If I didn't like something or didn't understand, yeah, I had a middle, like, for real. So I was kind of rebellious. Like, if something was stupid, it's stupid, Mom. I don't understand. It don't make sense.
Stupid, Mom.
So she was standing in my doorway and listening to these young, crazy thoughts just rambling off and just, you know, getting my frustrations out about whatever. And she would say, baby, with tears in her eyes sometimes, you can do whatever you put your mind to.
And I got some gifts, y'all. I'm telling y'all. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I was amazed when I first came here.
I appreciate it.
The first time. But Ed has some gifts.
I appreciate it.
And I think I said something to you about, something again about the editing. But he has some gifts that I didn't, and some talents that I know he didn't have. I know the drumming Ed. I know the church going Ed. I know the crazy as hell Ed.
That's the thing.
And he's now tapping into a lot of it. And he's not all over the place, because he still holds a 9-to-5.
I still drive that truck.
But I ain't getting up at 8 o'clock to do no podcast with him. He has some gifts. He has a lot to offer.
Thank you.
Whether you don't like his attitude or you don't like something he done to you in 97, 98, 99, 2000. And
listen, a lot of time when I'm saying stuff and people think it's crazy, it comes from somewhere. And the people that know. And they realize, they just talking crazy. I'm going to leave that alone.
It's some wisdom.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Even though, look, let me tell y'all something. I failed a class in high school just because. It's a lot of knowledge in here. Ed might have been he might not have stayed in college. Because he wanted, his man was back here.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of wisdom in this short head.
I appreciate you even recognizing that.
Y'all just messing, but, and I'm saying, even with me, but we might not have the same knowledge, But we got some knowledge and some wisdom to share with someone.
See, people see, they see the jokes and stuff on Facebook that I do, and they only get certain pieces, so they think that's it. So sometimes when people just around town see me, and they want to be joking, and I'm like, y'all know I just kind of do some of that for the book sometimes.
Yeah.
But it takes, like, we having a conversation, you get to see a little more serious side. Once they talk, they realize, oh, the joking part is like just a little piece of him. He got all this other stuff with him too.
And he will debate with you.
Oh yeah, I don't do it as much now, but woo.
Yeah, but I mean, and like, and if he's on a topic, he's passionate, and I have some of that same. Because I stick strong to my belief system.
Yeah.
And if I think something is just crazy as hell, it's just
you're gonna stand on that.
And I'm gonna state my opinions. Yeah, on it. Yeah. And he's the same way.
Same way. But I don't just do it from an emotional standpoint. I'm gonna bring some facts to the cuss. I'm gonna bring something you can go back and look up yourself. So it's best not to debate with me if you're just gonna be debating from your feelings. Because you realize the first person that goes personal in a debate loses. So y'all have lost a lot. My stomach was doing that yesterday. So y'all, almost all of y'all have lost debates with me because y'all would go personal first and then I would have to ether you. You're not going to win snapping with me. I just sit around and roast my whole timeline in my head some days. Like, I'm just.
He got a lot going. He probably wake up out of his sleep. He ain't got no book like me. He probably wake up out of his pastor person.
Yeah.
All right. So I got one more question for you.
Come on.
What is your peace?
What is my peace?
What gives you a peace of mind? What is your peace?
My purpose gives me peace. And let me explain. I believe I'm finally moving into the stage of my life where I'm starting to find my purpose and follow it. And some of that includes just having needed conversations with people, documenting that so people can refer back to it. I believe I'm supposed to be a resource of some kind. While I'm here and to leave something that once I'm gone, people can go back to and still be resourceful. That's why I do a lot of the videos and stuff I'm doing. That's why I connect behind the scenes with people, stuff I don't even talk about. Because I want, that gives me peace. Helping people gives me peace. Believing in my own greatness gives me peace, if that makes sense.
It makes sense because I heard you saying, you know, you have to learn how to stop down yourself.
Down myself, yeah.
And the reevaluation. That's part of reevaluating.
So finally starting to walk in my purpose and not allowing what others think I should be or chasing.
I think I've been putting that out the door. Because yeah, I mean, I've been putting it out to, you know, text me like, oh, you ain't apply for that. I didn't want that. Why I got that apply for? Because you want me to apply for.
See, I've been I be telling people, when people have people pick up the phone and text them stuff, I was like, people know better than to do that with me because I'll cuss you, slam out. You try to tell me how to be grown or try to question, unless you really in my circle, you can't do that. Y'all know better.
What's wrong with y'all?
That's why people don't pick up their phone and do that to me. Cause
go ahead. Lose y'all.
Because you know I'll talk crazy to you. And I don't mean in no tough guy way, but it's like, you're going to respect me as a man and not feel like you're going to sun me. I might look 25, but I'm a grown man. But my peace, being able to do what I know I'm here to do gives me peace. And I'm finally starting to do that.
Okay. That was good. But that was all I had.
This has been dope, Cookie. Thank you. You got me to talk about.
We stuff. Always ask, what we gonna talk about next? What we gonna talk about next?
Yeah, because
hold on, let me tell you, let's reverse these roles.
You did, and I said, I don't even want to know
what you're asking. Probably learned a lot about me. This is my fourth time.
That's your fourth time.
But
hopefully you'll be back this week.
Oh, yeah,
weekend.
I'm coming back for number five.
Yeah.
I'm coming back for number five. I enjoy this.
Yeah,
I really, really do. And lo and behold, I might be finding my purpose. I was told, God rest her soul, I don't want to get emotional either.
Mm.
Wasn't it, you know, it's just some people that you expect to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And our associate pastor, Reverend Dimple Bassett, she passed away this year.
Wow, okay.
And first she gave me a dove because I'm a Zeta. Zeta, okay. Shout out to Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. Incorporated.
Okay.
Founded in January 16, 1928 at The Howard University.
Represent.
Shout out to all my, as our past international ambassador, Cher Underwood, Sorrels would say.
So she was a Sorrel? You said not, she was a Sorrel, the one that
paid. No, not the one that paid.
Okay.
But she gave me some that symbolizes my sorority.
Okay.
Which
okay.
was a dub.
Okay.
But in these last 3 or 4 years, she said, and I became a little more, I ain't gonna say active, because I've always been active in church, but just a little more active. I do the announcements. I'm the assistant clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always giving me compliments. I'm not boasting or bragging.
Okay.
And I think even just by sitting with you, this is what I'm saying. I might be finding my purpose. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying doing podcasts, but just talking and speaking in front of them. Because I'm at work. I love to train. I will take.
Good.
I will
cook you.
You know, I drive up to Goochland just to teach half of their class.
You at the academy?
At the academy.
That's dope. That's
you know,
dope.
So and I enjoy that. I'm seeking to get my general instructors, and she said, "You need to find out what your purpose is." I will never. When she passed, that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah.
And I reached out to her daughter because her daughter grew up with us in the church, on and off.
Okay.
So we appreciate it. King Thank Crawley, whatever you're going by today.
Thank you, King Crawley, baby.
Elwood Crawley.
But Elwood Crawley Jr. I'm proud of my name.
Junior, we appreciate you. So I was excited Thank to help. Let's reverse these roles.
Wow.
Because you tap into us. You give us little seeds, little snippets of your life here and there.
This but really means a lot, Cookie, for real.
So.
Because I didn't know what you were going to ask me, so.
And he told me, disclaimer, look, ask me what you want, I'm going to answer.
Yep, straight like that. And she said, well, I'm ready.
And see, I'm still in my shell with some things. So we talk on text, on air. I'm still in my shell about some things. So he does help me in turn as well. And it's a lot of you all that help me. A lot of people that I consider that I could talk to or friends that helps me. So
ultimately, that's this type of stuff I'm more proud of. Like, I love this on camera stuff, but knowing we can talk behind the scenes and don't nobody have to know. And if it's helpful to you, I'm more proud of that. Ain't no money got to be involved.
I don't even care about that.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't.
Because I work a 9 to 5.
Just being a help. You know what I'm saying? Help your brothers and sisters.
And being just here, like you said, we're in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So doing something that don't just, we sitting around in the house.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to do here.
Nothing.
Everybody know that. Besides come through and speed.
That's it. Yeah.
So it's nothing to do here. So we, as grown folk, we make it do what it do.
Yeah. Well, look, I appreciate this. This was dope. I can't wait to look back at it and edit it, put it together, and because my camera kept tripping.
That's fine. We all get through that.
Because this lasts forever. And those are some great questions. So thank you, Cookie. And I'm going to see you in the next few days. So she's going to be right back up here soon. She like one of the, what's the word I'm looking for? She might mess around and be my co-host out of the wild. Have up here every week. But thank y'all for tuning in. Hit that subscribe
button. Yeah, you didn't say that. I can't remind you.
If you got something from the conversation, like and comment. You can type that, yo, this was good. If you don't like it, type it. It still worked for me. It all is part of the algorithm. So like it, don't like it, put something. We'll holler at y'all later. Peace.